Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading this evening will be taken from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. I'll be reading for the New American Standard Version. And in this reading, Jesus contrasts the meaning of those who obey him and keep his commandments and those who deny him and what they mean to him, each one. While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.
Good to be back again tonight. Hope everyone had a pleasant afternoon. We're going to pick up our short, very brief series of lessons that we started on last Sunday night, the Church of Christ on trial. We emphasized last week that there are a couple of different courts in our land. There is, of course, the governmental institution that has the authority to adjudicate different civil laws that go forth, that we live by, and dispense justice, of course. But then there is the court of public opinion. When we talk about the Church of Christ on trial, we're obviously talking about the latter. We know that many people judge us and attribute to us things that some are true and some are not. And so we looked last week at the charge of legalism. We are called legalist. And if you weren't here, we gave just a brief definition of that, strict adherence to law. From a theological standpoint, the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works, the judging of conduct in terms of adherence to precise laws. And so in looking at that, are we guilty as charged? And we said, yes, we are legalists from that standpoint. And I said last week, that's not a perfect definition of how we feel and what we believe. And especially when we look at the idea of the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works, that's true, just not good works alone. And but by and large, that is, I believe that is Webster's definition of that, and don't have any real problem with that. We do believe in strict adherence to law, and we do believe that we have to obey God's law precisely. And all you have to do is look at God himself. I've often said that God is a God of detail. And we remember things like the building of the ark, that God told Noah exactly what he wanted with regard to that. Gave very specific details, the size of the ark and how many floors and the door and even what the ark was going to be made of, what kind of wood and all of that. And then we have the example of something like the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build. Again, very detailed, how long it was to be and how wide it was to be, how tall it was to be, what kind of material was going to be used, and even the color of the material, and so on and so forth. God is a God of detail. And so I suspect if God was a man, that religionists today would call him a legalist. And so if God would be called that, I'm certainly not ashamed to be called a legalist. But we took a few minutes to look at why we believe we must adhere strictly to God's law. Matthew 7 at verse 21, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so we preach that we must do God's will in order to go to heaven. We certainly are not ashamed of that. In Luke chapter 8, we have Luke's rendering of what Joe just read for us. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so we just get the idea from Scripture that God demands obedience. It says about Jesus in Hebrews 5 at verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And we could look at just several other passages, just one more though. 1 John 2 verses 4 through 6, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And of course we know how Jesus walked, don't we? He did always those things that pleased the Father. John chapter 8 at verse 29. And so certainly we want to be like Christ. Christ again would be called a legalist because he strictly did. In fact, no one obeyed God down to the detail like Jesus did. He never, ever, ever sinned. And so are we legalists? Do we teach that we must adhere strictly and precisely to the word of God? Yes, we are guilty as charged when it comes to that. Well, tonight, let's just take a few minutes to look at another one. And it is similar to the first one. We have been charged with Phariseeism. People in denominational churches, they like to insult us, and they know that is what they're doing when they call us Pharisees. And, of course, we need to understand, most of you do, who the Pharisees are. This comes from Nelson's Illustrated Dictionary. He writes that the Pharisees were a religious and political party in Palestine in New Testament times. The Pharisees were known for insisting that the law of God be observed as the scribes interpreted it, and for their special commitment to the keeping of the keeping the laws of tithing and ritual purity. And so the Pharisees were legalists. And so that's why a lot of people say we're like the Pharisees. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus never condemned the Pharisees for being legalist. Like, where is the Bible where Jesus condemned them, where he said, woe is unto you for being a legalist, for keeping the law? Jesus never condemned them for that. That is one thing that we may have in common with the Pharisees, that we are legalists, they were legalists. But that's not what Jesus condemned them for. Why did Christ condemn the Pharisees? And when we look at this, we'll find that really we're not like the Pharisees at all, generally speaking. Now, let me just emphasize that. As we're talking about the Church of Christ on trial. These are characteristics that we'll be looking at for the next few minutes that really don't apply to the church as a whole. Could it be that there are some members of the church that are like the Pharisees in some of these areas? Of course. In fact, I think there is no doubt about that. But it doesn't represent the church as a whole. I would even argue that it doesn't represent the majority of Christians. There might be a few members of the church here and there, but generally speaking, we're not guilty of these things that are like the Pharisees. So let's just take a look at them. First, for trying to earn salvation. The Pharisees certainly did that. They weren't alone amongst the Jews. Most of the Jewish leaders and many of the average Jews, because they were taught by their leaders to do so, strived to earn their salvation. You might remember over in the book of Romans, in Romans the 9th chapter, and at verse 30 beginning. This is Romans the 9th chapter and at verse 30. Romans chapter 9 and at verse 30. Paul wrote, "What shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were, based on works," that he's referring to meritorious works there, that is, works of the law, "they have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." And so Paul is describing a group of people who were trying to earn their salvation by keeping the law. They were trying to be justified by the law. And as we have said many times before, the only way you could do that is by living perfectly. And so the Pharisees strove to do that. But we don't do that in churches of Christ. Most members understand we can't earn our way to heaven. I don't personally know of any Christian. I have never had a Christian come to me and say, "Don, I want to make it to heaven, and I think I have to earn my way there if I'm going to make it." Now, sometimes we begin acting like we think that way. And sometimes, once in a while, in our heart of hearts, we do kind of feel like that. Because we hear teaching on the fact that we're not saved by faith alone, and that we have to work out our own salvation. And so sometimes there are those in the church who mistakenly begin to feel that way. But most of the time we try to correct that kind of thinking, because we understand we can't earn our way to heaven. We know that we are saved by grace. We know that faith is important and primary in our salvation. That is faith that is an obedient kind of faith. And so can we as a whole, can someone say, "You know, those folks in the Church of Christ, they're trying to earn their way to heaven." That's what denominational preachers say. They like to say they believe in works salvation. And that's their way of saying we think we can earn our way to heaven. But we really don't share that in common at all. We know that we're saved by faith through grace. We also know that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But I would say, when it comes down to that, that we are not guilty as charged. We're not like the Pharisees like that. And then they were condemned for being ostentatious. They did things just to be seen of men. That's one of the things now that Jesus condemned them for doing. You might remember the passage in Matthew chapter 6. Turn your Bibles over there. And remember, once again, these are not things you can look at and say the Church of Christ as a whole are trying to do this. They're doing things just to be seen of men. That's just not true of churches of Christ. Are there any individuals within local congregations like this who are striving to do that? Perhaps. But that's not characteristic of us. But this is what Jesus condemned in the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 6 at verse 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And you know the context that Jesus goes on, and he makes the same point about praying, and he makes the same point about tithing. But that's what the Pharisees would do. They would do all of these things. When they engaged in any kind of benevolent work, they let whoever would pay attention to them, they let them know what they were doing. When they prayed, they prayed out in public to make sure that everybody saw them. When they fasted, I think I said tithing, but the third thing was fasting. And when they did that, they would fix up their faces to look like they were really suffering. And so people would praise them. Look at the sacrifices that they make for God. And Jesus said they have their reward for that. And so again, now we can learn from this passage of scripture in churches of Christ. We have to make sure as individuals in the kingdom of God that we're not doing that kind of thing. Like you make sure that you're not doing things just to be seen of men. But we preach that, don't we? And we teach that. I don't know of any preacher who hasn't preached on this particular text at one time or another. We understand it's wrong to do things just to be seen of men. And that's not characteristic of us. I can't say, even as I stand here right now, I can't say, oh, I know this person here at Brownsville. That person is ostentatious. I don't know of any like that. And so the fact of the matter is there may be some here and there, but no, we're not characteristic of that, so I would have to say, no, we're not guilty of charge when it comes down to being ostentatious. Well, why else did Jesus condemn the Pharisees? He condemned them not for doing too much, not for being legalistic, but for not doing. You remember in Matthew chapter 23, turn your Bibles over there. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and beginning at the first verse. Matthew chapter 23, and the verse is 1. The Bible says this. And then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So," he says, look at verse 3, "so do and observe whatever they tell you." Now, let's just get back for a second. This business of legalism. The Pharisees were legalists. They did go around and tell people, you have to keep the law and you have to do it precisely. Did Jesus condemn them for that? Did he ever in any place correct them with regard to that attitude? No. Instead, what we find here is Jesus says about them, you observe whatever they tell you to do. So when the Pharisees said, you have to strictly obey the law, Jesus put his stamp of approval upon that. Jesus said, you do that. But now watch how he condemns them. He says, you observe whatever they tell you to do, but not the works they do. Why? For they preach, but do not practice. That's what was condemned in the Pharisees. Is that true about churches of Christ? Can you look at churches of Christ world around and say, look at this. This is what they do in churches of Christ. This is just characteristic of them. They preach and preach, but they don't practice. No, that's not true about Christians throughout the world. Are there some? Yes. I would even go so far as sometimes we all fall short when it comes down to our practicing, but that is not characteristic of us any more than it is any other religious group of people. We understand we need to preach, but we understand we need to practice. In fact, in most sermons that I have ever preached, when it comes down to evangelism, I'll make the point, before you go out and try to teach other people, you make sure you're applying the Word of God to your own life first. And I'm not doing or saying or preaching anything rare when I do that. Most preachers preach the same thing. And so we recognize, again, we're not like the Pharisees when it comes to that. We're not guilty. I think you're starting to see, we're really not like the Pharisees, are we? Just because we have one thing that might be in common with them, that is, we believe in strict adherence to the law, doesn't mean that we're Pharisaical. And I would argue that certainly we're not. They bind heavy burdens. Now, we don't do that in churches of Christ. Now, some might think we do because when we bind the Word of God, there's some people who don't like that. Like denominational folks would say, yeah, you demand that people are baptized. That's a burden that you're placing on them. No, that's the Word of God. Or you command that you observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You're binding people with burdens that they can't know. That's not something people can't do. It's the Word of God. It's the commandments of God. And so, yes, it is true that we do believe that we have to strictly adhere to the Word of God, and we demand that, and we preach that. We strive our best to practice that. But we're not binding heavy burdens upon individuals. And so I'd say that we're not guilty when it comes down to that. What about wearing religious titles? Here we are in Matthew chapter 23. When we continue to read here, we see that they were guilty of that as well. As we read on at verse 5, it says, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. We have already seen that in Matthew chapter 6. But it says, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at the feast and the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. And he says, the greatest among you shall be your servants. The Pharisees loved their titles. But who is that like? I would even argue that we are less that than any denominational church. We are the ones that teach people that religious titles are wrong. We're one of the only ones that don't wear religious titles. It's hard for me even now when I'm just talking to people casually. They find out that I'm a preacher. The first thing they start doing is try to call me pastor, because it's almost second nature, because denominational churches teach that and practice that. They call those who preach the gospel, they call them reverend and right reverend, and they call them pastor and bishop. They use religious titles just like the Pharisees, but guess who doesn't do that? We don't do that in churches of Christ. We condemn that and preach against that in churches of Christ. So when it comes down to the wearing of religious titles, there is no question but that we are not guilty of being like the Pharisees. And so we are charged with Phariseeism. Are we guilty as charged? I think the clear answer to that is no. We're not guilty of that. Don't ever let anyone tell you you're like the Pharisees. Now, the only thing that they'll bring up is, oh, yeah, yes, you are, because you're a legalist just like them. They were legalists. You asked them, where did Jesus condemn that? Let's look in the Bible at what Jesus condemned, and let's see if we are guilty of those things. Now, make sure that you're not. But as a whole, we're just not guilty of those things. Next week, we'll look at one more thing. I'll give you a heads up on that, where we're accused of being narrow-minded. Are we guilty of that? We'll talk about that next week. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Forget about the scribes and the Pharisees. Forget about us. Just think about your own soul for a second. Are you right with God? No, you can't earn your way to heaven. But you do have to obey the gospel of Christ. Paul told us in Romans 1 at verse 16, it's the power of God under salvation. The gospel is the greatest message that has ever been preached. And it tells us the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But it also has instructions that need to be followed. And some of those instructions involve repenting of your sins and confessing Christ and being baptized. Remember, we have to follow the details. That's God's plan of salvation. That's not something that a bunch of preachers in the Church of Christ got together and said, well, let's just point at our fingers and say that you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And people condemn us for being Pharisees. One of the things that they like to say is they're Pharisaical because they're five-steppers. And, we are five-steppers. But it's because the Bible teaches us to be so. Those five steps that I just said, those five things you have to do to be a Christian, we can give book, chapter, and verse for all of those things. In fact, we can give several references in the Bible, all references made by Jesus himself for hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's God's plan. Those are the instructions you have to follow tonight if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be saved, if you want to be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You must follow those steps, not because Don Wright said it, but because it's in the Word. You want to be converted, you want to become a new creature in Christ, then you must do those things. We want you to do it tonight. The angels will rejoice in heaven. God will rejoice when you obey the gospel of Christ. Why not do that as soon as possible? Why not even this very night? Why not right now? Come forward as we together stand and sing.
Zion's costly.